A gynecologist, a woman's doctor, went to teach a preteen class to a group of couples preparing for marriage. And he began by saying, "Ladies, before I get started, I want you to turn and look into the eyes of your fiancé." The doctor waited a minute. The women hesitated, and he said, "I'm not going further until you turn and look into the eyes of your fiancé." And there were giggles all over the room. And finally, there were 75 couples there, and they turned and looked into each other's eyes. And he says, "Ladies, you are looking into the eyes of the biggest baby you'll ever have." He continued, "You may have other babies, but you must never forget who is baby number one. If you do, that's when trouble often begins in marriage. If you keep him as baby number one, your love for one another will overflow onto all of your children, and no one will be left out." And he added, "Gentlemen, the same goes for you." Jesus said, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And St. Paul, decades later, told the Ephesians, "Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over to her to sanctify her." Being subordinate is the act of loving. If I love, I submit. I yield to the one I love. That's what it means to be in love. People who have problems with Paul's words to the Ephesians seem to have problems with the politics of love and will struggle with true love. But if you want to love, you have to yield to the other. You have to put the other person first and submit to the other. If you ever watch a mother with her baby, the mother is submissive to her child. She's not reckless. She's in control, but she's submissive. And she yields to her child to serve her child. If a marriage is going to be successful, it's important to see the other partner as your baby number one and not allow new babies to rob a spouse of their lover and not see that the relationship, to avoid seeing their own relationship before the children disappear in the rearview mirror. Another way to see this is that love is a decision. Belief is a decision. We don't always have the certainty of belief, or the certainty of faith, or the certainty of love. Love is a choice. Belief is a choice. I chose to love you. I chose to believe in our marriage. I chose to believe in Jesus. Personally, I chose to be a priest. I chose to believe that Jesus is God. Choice. I chose to believe that Jesus has given himself to us in his precious body and blood. Choice. Our choice doesn't make it certain. But if we don't consciously choose Jesus, we will never be able to follow him. Many of Jesus' disciples chose to stop believing him and following him. In contrast to them, Peter and the other disciples chose to remain with him. That's a critical distinction. They're looking at the very same evidence as everyone else. The 12 chose Jesus while others rejected him and returned to their former ways. In that first reading, we hear Joshua addressing the Israelites regarding his decision. It's a powerful example of choice in faith. It's an example of the role of spouse and fatherhood and leadership and parenting. Joshua says, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, then decide today whom you will serve. The gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose countries you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." By the way, that pre-cana session with the gynecologist happened over 45 years ago during the marriage preparation that Dan's mother, Cynthia, and I took together. It's all true.